This is RSBNB Update, episode 399, recorded Friday, February 8th, 2013. A Land Down Under.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update, episode 399. I'm Trekkie here, taking over for Shane because he went away to another side of the world. Here with me is good old Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello, everyone.
And right next to Mike is, to my right, is the good old pal, good buddy, little master of RuneScape, Uncle Dana.
Hello there!
Ow. Okay, then. So, yes, so...
We're glad to have you, Uncle Daniel.
Yes, as Shane would
put it... Thanks for having me on. It's a real honor to be on.
Uh-huh. And as Shane would put it, promote conservative values.
Well, yes, and last week you said it was the liberal channel, so Shane, you can rest assured I'm going to faithfully represent the conservative values and decorum during this show.
Trekkie, hey, remember what Shane told you.
Yeah, and you do know what I remember what I told Shane after that, right? That will keep that between
it's
us.
Not suitable for air.
All right. So anyway, we have some minor RS update. So first and foremost, just so that everyone knows, all members get a free bank booster.
Yay.
Yes. So everyone who is a member, go on to your Solomon store and you will get 50 free bank space. So at a low, low cost of 0 rune coins. And,
we've been waiting for this for a long time.
Yes, I told Shane a long time ago when this first came out that they were going to do a promotion, and I was right.
Yep, and when it first came out, they said you could use loyalty points in the future, perhaps, to buy some more bank space as well, so we were waiting for that.
Mm-hmm. So it's here. Snag it before it goes away. Let's see. I don't see how long it lasts, though, before it goes away.
I'm sure it will go away at some point.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, just a little last little tidbit on this. We have a much bigger plans for a much improved loyalty program for later on this year, which will definitely include a more flexible way to get bank space with loyalty points. We'll have more information for you on this in the next few months. So do look forward to you spending your loyalty points on bank space if you don't want to spend on auras and little emotes anymore. All right.
You know what else I'd like to see too? Not just more bank space, but perhaps even a couple more tabs we could create, or even the ability to move tabs around and shuffle them around and things. A little bit more functionality in the bank.
Actually, I would love it to give us more action bars. I need more action bars. 5 is not enough.
Yeah, I think update like that shouldn't be... In the Solomon store, that should be an actual update to the game, though. It should improve the functionality of the bank.
Yeah, yep, definitely.
Okay. So anyway, for this week's official RS update, we have the release of Sinkholes. Sinkholes are a new diversion and distraction minigame. And Dana, I believe you and I had some fun with this, so why don't you talk a little bit about it first?
Yeah, I've tried this out a couple of times, and we just did one before recording the show. And basically, you see this guy in Damonheim, and he will tell you where the sinkhole or when the sinkhole will appear. And about 5 minutes before it actually appears, you're able to teleport right to the sinkhole. And then when it appears, all the players go into the sinkhole, and you speak to the fellow that's in there and tell him you're ready to go into the dungeon. And basically, it's a dungeoneering distraction and diversion. And what you do is you go around and you're searching for totems, you're searching for items that are crafting items and things like that, and killing monsters, and you're building up an inventory of stuff that you're depositing into a chute, and you're competing against these four other players. So there's a team of 5 players going through the dungeon doing this, and at the end of it lasts for 7 minutes before the dungeon kind of collapses. The sinkhole collapses, and then you go and you go into the treasure room at the end. And what happens is your performance collecting all these items and depositing them in the chute determines what rank you are in the treasure room. And as you are collecting these things, you're also collecting these different cards that you're playing. So at the end, it's more like a little bit of a poker game that you can swap your item, your reward item in your chest for someone else's if you wish to, or you can protect your item with a card if you have that. There's a lot of different cards and they do a lot of different moves. To me, I kind of like the competitive nature where you're running through. I find that the sinkholes, though, are more geared towards combat. So the first thing you do, and I've figured this out, is you have to kill things and run through the dungeon as quickly as possible and pick up the exploration totems and also the combat totems and get those in the chute as quickly as possible. And then afterwards, you go for the skilling. And so the skilling could be picking herbs or things with the farming skill or chopping a tree or fishing. So the first time I went into one of these sinkholes, I was basically going after the skilling items first. So far, I have done about 5-6 of these sinkholes, and every time I've come in last place or second last place. But I don't mind that because the amount of experience that you actually get in dungeoneering, and I usually get about 20K experience at level 75 dungeoneering with a small lamp, maybe a medium lamp, something like that sometimes, is pretty decent for 7 minutes worth of work. So I don't mind that at all. I just don't like the end part where you're actually just like a Flash Powder Factory, able to steal someone else's reward. I just don't like that aspect of the game.
Well, that's right. I got to be first. And I may also make a little minor tweak to your strategy. The way I found it is don't even bother going into combat. First thing you do, get all as many exploratory totems and dump them in as fast as you can. Okay. Once you've done that, my advice is then you go for the combat in the surrounding area of the bank, because there's always a second bank somewhere in the center. Go for that, clear out the surrounding areas, cut off all the wood or whatever, and dump them all back in. Because the exploration totems, it's only about 14 or 15 of them, 15 of them in every dungeon. Those are the big money makers. Those are the ones that gives you the more points that I have found.
Okay.
And after that, you know, just do whatever you want. I was in second place for my first one, and I got tokens. I was like, God damn, I don't want tokens. So I stole the guy before me's medium lamp. He was not happy. I was like, here's your 1K tokens. God damn it. It's like, I'm sorry, bud. I just did better than you. Besides
Continue.
But in the treasure room, things are all mixed up first, so you don't know who's getting what. So if you're the ones I found the best, you should really try and get is the yak and the steel titan. If you manage to get one of those two, keep it. The yak takes your whatever item that you've won directly into your bank, into your bank. While the steel titans will actually protect your item from moving for one turn. So both of those are very good at protecting your if you get something really good, and if you get something bad, the trading stuff and whatnot are best pick. Of course, if you're dead last, it's kind of hard because you can't really trade with anyone else.
Yeah, and what we found out too, we played another one this evening whereby one of the players actually unfortunately disconnected during a run, and he had an inventory full of stuff. And what happens is that I think that you're unable to complete the full objectives by filling all the, all the spaces, and it decreases the amount of reward you get at the end. So there's a couple of instances where people were complaining that people were going into these sinkholes and griefing just to, tick people off, where they would go in there, collect a whole bunch of stuff, and then log out. So they couldn't meet the maximum amount of rewards at the end. So that's unfortunate. People got to act like that.
Yes, but I think this is also at least a dungeoneering for someone like Shane, who hates dungeoneering. At least you'll be able to get decent experience from dungeoneering by doing this for about, an hour out of his day.
Yeah.
And the experience is pretty good for pretty quick. And it's also, I think if you're lower level too, it's a good way to kind of learn how to do dungeoneering. Because it basically gives you all the items. You just go around and have fun. But the other thing, you can only do this twice a day. And
is it completely random, or can you go in with people?
The people you go with is random. It just picks whoever's there, but usually the way I found it is that you either get just five or not at all. Depends on the world. I go to the Dungeoneering world, usually you can maybe find two groups of five once in a while, but usually I just find there's going to be just five people left. I mean, if you want to deal with the friends, I recommend trying to sync up with each other. But also, one other thing before you go in, you don't need anything. Everything is provided, and it won't even let you in if you have an item in your inventory. So just dump everything into your bank, and there's a bank right outside.
Dungeons... some of the worlds.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to ask, are the dungeons really similar to how they are in Dungeoneering?
Yeah, it's basically, I guess it would consider C2 small.
Okay.
So the rooms are maybe, I want to say, maybe 20 rooms max, around that, 20, 25 rooms. And you just run around, do the little things, and you're done.
And do they have a new look, or are they similar to one of the previous things?
Same thing. Exactly the same. All run down, cobwebs, dust, evil spiders.
So like the abandoned floors?
Yeah, pretty much. How cool with that?
When the D&D came out, everybody was trying it out in every world, and there was no problem getting a team of five to activate a sinkhole and get going. But after the first day or two, you find that you go into some worlds and
there's
just no one there. So the suggestion is to go into the low-level Dungeoneering world 32, I think it is, and there's lots of low-level Dungeoneering people going in there and activating those sinkholes all the time. So you won't have a problem finding a team of five in that world.
Yeah, so I did World 77, which is more of the higher-up Dungeoneering world. Same thing. So if you want to do this, go to Dungeoneering world. It's every 30 minutes. When a new sinkhole appears, it used to be every 2 hours, but they reduced it by a lot.
Hopefully they update to do sharding like they have for the big Chinchampa game, where it creates a world for it. You can never mean across worlds would end up with each other.
But also, one other little thing they've added is, for healthy hordes of Dungeoneering XP and tokens, you can also obtain pieces of the Garajo Horde Stalker set, cosmetic version of the gear you'll wear within the sinkhole dungeon. You'll be collecting this outfit. Look out for the Preening Ibis card, which will guarantee a piece of the set in your current chest. So yeah, you got a new. There's a new Dungeoneering outfit, but I didn't check on how much it costs though.
I wonder if that's the same outfit that they're giving from Squeal Fortune right now.
No, that's the Ram Monkey. That's different.
That's different.
This one is basically the armor you would wear while you're in the dungeon. They give you a set of armor for range, magic, or melee, and whichever one it is, that's what you use. That's kind of what you get.
And it's cosmetic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. More cosmetic items.
Hey.
That's what the bank space is for.
You gotta make people look fabulous.
It's like, what to wear today? I don't know.
Oh, if you have trouble picking Mr. Dano, just ask your wife.
Oh, no. I'll dress myself.
I'm sure she should. Okay. So, do you guys have anything else to add to the sinkhole?
I really like it. I like the fast-paced action of it, where it only lasts for 7 minutes. You got to rush around. Da, da, da. I just don't like the ending part where you get to steal from somebody else. I think you should earn your reward at the end. And a lot of times when I have a card and I'm able to swap something, I'll just skip my turn. I'll just keep what I got. And if they want to take it from me, good on you.
I just don't want the tokens. I don't care for those. I can get more tokens out of that than just by doing regular four. But yeah, so far I think I got a decent this past week. I think I got almost 200k XP from it. I couldn't do it every single day because I don't have the time. But yeah, it's good. I like this little diverse D&D. I think this one will stay for a while. This one has some power for those who really don't know how to do dungeons yet. And for those like Shane who don't want to pug with a group of five, this is a very quick way to get some levels in.
Mm-hmm.
But being Shane, he probably won't do it anyway.
Oh, I think he will. I think he'd have fun at this.
He told me complain. All right, so moving on, we have the next topic on our list. We have the evolution of combat improvements. So they've done a lot of improvements to Slayer monsters, including dragons. Almost all dragons have had their life points reduced. So Slayer assignments for dragons won't take as long as they used to.
And
all armor ratings for dungeoneering enemies have been reduced, as well as some dungeoneering bosses have had their stats reduced as well.
Yeah, that's a good thing, because I just picked up a Slayer task of Steel Dragons, and it was before they kind of fixed the Steel Dragons, and I wasn't even going to bother going down there wasting resources to try and kill them to complete that. So that's a good thing for my Slayer task anyways.
You know what I did?
What's that?
When I had I found it, for me, it was actually faster. I just went double Chaotic Rapier, and I just killed Steel Dragons like it was nothing. I was like, ooh, you're dead already? Dang.
For those of you who have the luxury of double Chaotic Rapiers, yes.
Nice. I was like, ooh, you're dead? Sweet. Move on to the next one. I was killing it faster than most people doing magic spells.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I have a ton of, you know, extreme potions, and I just start using those up anyway, so why not? Anything with it. So no more instant adrenaline loss during actions, and a new way to stall adrenaline. So what happens is, let's say you're fighting a monster and you have to cross the bridge or something like that, and the action will actually completely kill off your adrenaline. It doesn't do that anymore, at least hopefully. And with this fix, you'll no longer be able to stall your adrenaline by talking or interacting with an NPC, such as a familiar, but you can still keep your adrenaline topped up by using combat abilities which do not require a target. I have no idea which one that is. I'm thinking like charge and escape, but that can't be it. You guys have any idea what those are?
No.
There's not many.
Maybe Dragon Breath. Can I use Dragon? Nope. Dragon Breath doesn't work. Maybe Escape.
Just that magic ability that makes you jump forward a bunch?
Maybe. Yeah, most of them require a target anyway. So anyway, I can think of it's all those kind of fast moving spells. Okay, so that's pretty much it. Resonance, the shield skill Resonance has had a huge nerf. Resonance, just as good absorbing damage as it's always been, no longer heals you on special attacks from major bosses, such as Nomad's Disintegration or the Kalphite King's Burrow Emerge attack. So what still helps you to avoid the big hits, you won't be able to use it for healing. I think this is going to be a little big problem. This is very targeting boss hunting people, because I know that when I was fighting Corporeal Beast, we had one tank who was using this to heal himself the entire time. He was doing very, very well, and we were just killing Corporeal Beast almost, you know, really quick. But I guess with this is when you just try and stall them and maybe try and have them use more food.
Well, that's the thing, is like food and potions, you know, really needed to get back into the game, because, you know, you got 99 cooking, 99 herb lore, and you got all these potions and food, and you don't even need them anymore. So it's good that they're making a need for food and potions to bring those prices back up on the GE.
Yeah, they're almost back to normal, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Potions is just one. I don't like the whole weapon weapon poison potion, because now you have to drink it in order for the venom to flow from your hands into your weapon, into the tip, and into the enemy. And it's like, it's nice I can use it with every single weapon, but then the problem I have with that is you have to keep poisoning yourself in order to get the effect, and usually you end up killing the monster before it takes effect anyway. Hopefully weapon poison will become a little bit better. Like, I think there should be another one where it's more fast acting or something, if you're going to do that.
Yeah, they should just remove weapon poison from the game if that's what they're going to do with it.
Mm. I like having the low weapon poison, a little extra damage every once in a while, but maybe it's either, I guess, with you, either remove it or make it a new fast-acting poison for higher up.
or an ability.
It's just another... Yeah, and it's just another thing to add on to, like, if you're not a high-level combat person, you try and stack as much as you can. So poison is acting, and your specials are acting. I mean, you're using the action bar, and you're using abilities and potions and food. You're trying to get everything to stack on top to try and do the maximum amount of damage you can, because you're not overly strong. So I would suggest keeping the poison in the game, because it is useful to those who actually use it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So we have Berserk. Berserk now halves your effective armor rating for a duration, as well as doubling the damage you deal and receive. It's a great way to boost your damage, but you need to be careful using it, even against weaker enemies. So, you know, as the name presents, you go kakakuku crazy. And, you know, you pay the price for it.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be all 100% aggressive, well, you're not going to... No one's going to butt your back when you get stabbed, you know, from a Roman centurion.
That's kind of like the Darok special effect, eh?
Yeah, I guess so. So here's what it says, 100% adrenaline. Harness your adrenaline to increase all damage dealt, but also all damage received by 100% for 20 seconds. Also reduce armor rating by 50%. So yeah, you'll get hurt more, but you also do more damage. So it's, you know, it's a pros and cons ability.
Well, it's kind of like the trade-off of using a two-handed weapon or a one-handed weapon and a shield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's see. That's basically it. So a couple weapon style damage were kind of retweaked in order to do more damage or less damage. So dual wielding and two handed weapons are on the same. They're thinking about bringing them on the same level of power. They're hoping to improve influence of combat stats on weapon accuracy, and well, Dungeoneer boss will get a tweak later on.
So, yeah, but there was that other item up there where it talks about NPC versus NPC missed hit splats, and they were talking about the issue of the missed hit splats from displaying over familiars like the Steel Titan. It says this issue led some of you to believe that the Steel Titan familiar was attacking itself when it used a special attack, and boy, were people ranting on the forums about that. 99 summoning and my Steel Titan is not only nerfed, it's suicidal. And it was so funny to read all the comments. And it's like, yeah, something has to be fixed there, I think.
It's nice to know they addressed that. Yeah, anything here you want to talk about, Mike?
I think it's kind of annoying how they keep changing all the combat items. Like, you can't really make a decision on if you should buy something really expensive, because you don't know if they're going to continuously change it.
Well, you think about it, the same for every other game and MMO game. Things like this will always change. You have to keep the game balanced, and if it's unbalanced, you have to address it. I mean, WoW does it, StarCraft does it, and then EVE, Star Trek Online does it, MechWarrior Online, every MMO does this.
Well, yeah, I just feel that the frequency of the changes right now is, like, really great, and why would you want to buy something expensive if you don't know what's going to happen to the price? People are kind of scared to take the risk with those expensive items.
Yeah, but crucially, most people can afford, like, 20 of those and still have money left over.
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, when you're talking millions to purchase it, you're looking at all the grand exchange graphs, and they're going up and down like a roller coaster depending on all these changes coming in and out, and people speculating on this change and how it's going to affect this. It's a little bit of an unstable time right now.
Mm-hmm.
Very unstable.
Especially with the new Calphite King's weapons, they just replace a lot of them. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for the EOC improvements. We have some tweaks and fixes for this week. Is there anything that jumps out at you?
Yeah, there were a few things that I found under the graphical one. There was a new rake animation. So for those like Shane who like farming, they can now rake with a different style. Under quests and challenges and achievements, the demon in Legends quest can now be defeated. Well, that's good. You can complete the quest now. Wonderful. People were wondering about Thok Your Block Off, too. They were trying to say, fix that. You can't complete that thing. So it's been made a little bit easier. Let's see. There was another one yes. Entering your bank PIN at a shop no longer interrupts the flow of the purchase. Oh, that was always annoying.
Yeah.
Yes, I like that one, that they fixed that one, yes. And I think that was about it that I found were highlights this week.
All hellhounds and normal dogs now utilize the latest sound effects. Thanks go to Rua for pointing this out. I wonder who Rua is.
Mm.
I can imagine that lots of the things on the list are pointed out by people.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see, anything else that jumps at me? Nothing really big. Trim version of blue and green Dragonhide armors now have their correct Dragon Slayer requirements. Okay. Wonder what that one was about. Pretty much it. Battle axes now play a sound effect when using the Fury ability. And stats for Lucky Ceradomin sword should now match the stats of a normal Ceradomin sword. All right. So that's basically it. Basically, that's worth mentioning. Up next, we have the new Slayer Tower update that's coming out next week. Behind the scenes, so they're going to completely redo the entire tower. And what they'll also do is they'll make some new locations where I believe it's based on agility and Slayer level that you can get access to more monsters down the up higher up. Did you guys, and if you managed to watch the video?
Yep, I did.
I think they just mentioned it's like more of the same monsters that are within the tower already. So
yeah, so more abyssal demons, more gargoyles, etc.
And one big thing is there's a big Zero symbol on the tower now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the whole idea behind the Slayer Tower was it's supposed to be like the fortress to divide Ceradomin and him. And basically he's like, if you can penetrate through this Ceradomin, I'd like to see you try, type of thing. And there's also a new NPC that's going to be outside of the Slayer Tower that gives contracts. These contracts you can use for XP and goods, I believe. Mr. Dano, you remember what? I don't give you XP.
I don't know.
Let me double check on it really quick. But the idea behind this is that you're going for a Slayer task. You see him outside. He's like, hey, man, I want to be well known, but I'm fat and lazy. How about I just pay you to do my job for me? So you go in there with a contract saying, I will kill, you know, X amount of banshees, Y amount of claws or abyssal demons. And I was like, and he'll give you a small reward at the end.
Well, the biggest thing about that was that you don't even have to be on a task for it. You can just ask him for contract and you can get Slayer XP for doing it.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, you know, even in a Slayer Tower, you don't really need a Slayer task to do stuff there. You can just go in any time you want.
Yeah, but you can't get Slayer XP. With a contract, you can get Slayer XP.
Yeah, so
and you pick the monster, so seems like a good update.
I don't think you pick the monster. I think he sets the one monster you fight.
In the video, it looked like you can pick. There's a big list that you can scroll down.
I believe the list was the number of contracts you're allowed to have.
I don't know.
But the other one, let's see. Yeah, you either get Slayer XP, Combat XP, or coins from as your reward. Okay. And I think there's one other thing from it too, but I can't remember what it was. So yeah, I think this should be interesting when this new Slayer Tower comes out. They invite high level Slayer Masters to journey up to the top floor of the tower and look down below to the awe and magnificence of what this used to be.
I think the nicest thing is it will actually look like a tower now rather than just a large building.
Hmm. I wonder. It would be nice to be able to stop some of those Slayer bots and whatnot.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Anything else, Mr. Dino?
Nope. Not on this one.
Not on this one? Not a big fan of Slayer, eh?
Not yet. I'm getting into combat, and I'm going to be doing Slayer tasks to train combat, so I'll be getting into this, definitely.
Double Chaotic Rapier is the way to go. And if you get Dagonath Slayer task.
Yep.
Man, that took a while. Two, God Sword is really, really good against those because of the AoE damage.
Okay.
It was really good. And, okay, so moving on, we have the community roundup. So not too much this week. We have a couple fan site news, how a new fan site is opening up, so you can go and check on them if you like. And another site has hosting another weekly event, taking down the Hottie, King Black Dragon event, Zamorak God War bosses, lots of other God War boss fighting events scheduled for this month and this week. We have a couple of new artwork. We have a veteran video maker who took a first look at Sinkhole, surprised you with some great tips on playing this new Dungeoneering D&D. So yeah, if you're not as good as me and Mr. Dano, you can take a look at that video and get some pointers on it. And that's pretty much it. Everything else here is pretty straightforward. So we'll just move on to the next one, which is going to be the edible creation. So a lot of people made some goody treats in Jagex RuneScape liking.
I love the rune cookies.
Rune cookies.
I got to try that.
You should make one and tell us how it tastes.
Yeah, so they're looking for submissions. Anyone who has creative or is creative with food.
That ain't me.
Not me.
I like them going into my belly, not taking an hour to make it. I'm sure there are people who do. Anyway, they're hosting a little competition. The deadline for this is March 3rd. It has to be RuneScape related. It has to be your own work. No knockoffs. Minimum resolution of 1280 by 720 pixels. Max size of 2 megabytes. Acceptable formats are JPEG, PNG, and GIF. Email your entries to gallery@jagex.com with display your name and the title of your artwork. The winner, the grand prize winner, will receive a RuneScape concept art print signed by our artist and 50 spins. Two runner-ups will get 25 spins. Mr. Dana, I think you should post a... I think you should, try making some cookies.
Well, I was thinking one time that it probably wouldn't be too bad actually to make a real tuna potato. baked potato with butter, and then you put some, I wouldn't put raw tuna in there. I'd put maybe make a tuna salad, and then on top of that, some cooked corn. I don't think that would taste actually too bad at all. I think that tastes actually pretty good.
You can send some to Mike. I'm sure he's always hungry.
Why do you say that?
I'll try that.
Because you're a growing boy.
Okay, if you say so.
Okay, so submit your edible yummies over to Jagex, and hopefully, and good luck if you win. And if it looks really good, I hope you give us a recipe so other people can make it too.
Yeah, because we should be starting a recipe thread on the RSBNB forums, right? I'd put my pumpkin pie recipe somewhere, anyways.
You have it somewhere, but I can't remember where it was.
It's there somewhere, yep.
Yeah. Pumpkin pie. Okay, so next thing on our list, we have the two little things. We have the Solomon new pet, Dragon Wolf pet, and we have the Squeal of Fortune Red Monkey outfit and the new D&D tokens. So Solomon's wolf is pretty self-explanatory. It's a new pet. Three new pets have been released. Basically one's a baby, one's adolescence, one's all grown up, and you have new wolf dragon outfit. It's really not me, but maybe someone will like them.
It's not me either.
I'm not used to bestiality. or dressing up as a giant Teletubby. And the other thing is that we have the Ram Monkey outfit, and some people like them. I personally don't care for it because I'm never going to get the whole set anyway.
I got the top tonight on Squeal of Fortune just before recording the show.
Yay.
The Ramaki top, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And distraction, the D&D tokens. So these are great ways to earn extra experience from doing some of the D&D events. So usually you have ones that you have to wait a week or maybe a month to do. This basically gives you a free pass to do it again. For example, a high-level player may have completed a troll invasion and earn up to 100, maybe 100k per month for beating up waves of troll. Well, you get a chance to do battle again, maybe double the amount of XP you rewarded. Tokens for god statues and brand new Dungeoneering-inspired sinkholes have been added to the mix, means you can build your first statues again in the same month or jump into a sinkhole for two more times every day.
As long as you're lucky enough to get one of the tokens, though.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And I like the god statues. I like that for prayer experience, definitely.
Oh, yes. Very nice. One more god statue around and I get a 91 prayer because it's expensive to do and I'm lazy. I am lazy. What's the other thing? In addition, universal tokens in daily, weekly, and monthly varieties can be used across all compatible D&D that have been introduced. They're available starting the 8th and until Monday the 11th. And you have an increased chance to win the Ram Monkey outfit runs during the same time period. And of course, buy more spins.
No.
Please? Please.
Don't spend money for experience. You're going to regret it later. You're not going to feel good about yourself.
I'm supporting Jagex. I bought the gold premium thing.
Yeah, well, I did too. Support Jagex, but I wouldn't pay for spins just to have spins.
Yeah, that's right.
I would do 100 spins and just record all 100 of them just to see what would happen. It's like, all right, let's see how lucky I am to getting 2 million, the 2 million jackpot. Here I go, times 10. Click, ching, click, click.
1,000 coins times 100.
Yeah, that would be me, actually.
I guess it's small cashback now times 100.
And it is truly random. I mean, you cannot, even on the the slow speed of the spinning wheel there.
I have.
You can once in a while, but you try that again, and it's way off. So you know they're introducing a random factor in there that says that you're not going to be able to place that that counter on the one that you want.
Nah, usually I just go for the uncommon ones. Usually I get it. Remember that time I told you I was timing my spins, and I got three extra spins and a couple other things. I timed it. Trust me, it's not random. But I only work for time four and uncommon and common items, rare stuff. I don't have a chance.
I think lag has a lot to do with it as well.
Okay. Last but not least is Gamer Safety Week. So a little Jagex is part of Gamer Safety Week. So basically, here's a little thing that everyone should do to keep their account safe. Please do consider using Jagex Account Guardian. Do enter your email recovery and bank PIN, and do be aware of any phishing or anti-spyware stuff in your emails. You never know. People, there's a reason these things are everywhere, because people usually do fall for them. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's pretty stuff.
It's a really important thing to actually make sure that your computer and your RuneScape account is very, very secure, because I hate hearing about people who got hacked. And if you think about it and you ask them, well, how could you get hacked? And, I don't know. Well, did you have this set? Did you do this? Well, no, I never got around to it or whatever. You know, they slipped up and it really is human error. It's their fault that they got hacked. So, you know, if you spend so much time playing this game, trying to get your levels up and getting all the money that you get in the game, and you build this whole bank of wealth, you don't want to lose it. So it's really, really important to protect it. So this is actually really good advice. Go through each one of these things, especially the Jagex Account Guardian. It's only going to allow you to play RuneScape on the computers that you have signed it to play on. So some guy from the outside can't get into your account that way. I think that's one of the most important ones.
Something they don't mention, which I think is one of the most important things you should do, is use a different password on every site. If you're using your RuneScape password on another site, how do you know that site's not logging the password you're entering? And then they know what your RuneScape name is and then can log into your RuneScape account.
Yes.
Yeah, so be secure, be safe. As someone always put down, have a mix of numbers and letters and special symbols for every single password.
Well, length is the most important part. More than using symbols and stuff, just use the longest length you can that you can remember.
Or you can do the super low tech way. Close your eyes, have your fingers press a button, bunch of buttons, copy your password into a secure USB drive, and then every time you log into RS, plug that in and copy it over. And someone asks you what your password is, I don't know. It's in my USB. I just. Or keep it as a safe notepad deep down in the depths of the earth.
I wouldn't use just a notepad. If you're going to use up your passwords like that, use a password manager like KeePass or LastPass.
LastPass, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that is it for RS updates this week. We got through it, Mike.
It's quite a few.
Well, only two real ones, and the rest are just fillers. All right, so anyway, moving on to the questions. So we have a very special audio question from someone very special to us all.
Yeah, I just got this just before I recorded, and... Well, I haven't even listened to it yet, so I'll play it now.
Hello, Reed, Tricky, and Uncle Dano. I'm sitting here with the beautiful Shane 12088 above about 790 meters above sea level in the gorgeous Queenstown, New Zealand. And we wanted to ask you a question. We wanted to know what your top holiday destinations were in the world,
and possibly where your most favorite place that you have been so far would be. So if you could humor us with an answer, that'd be great.
Sorry about all the background noise. We're kind of at a little bit of a cafe thing, but I guess you'll find out a lot more about that when Shane returns. Thanks for listening. Have fun, guys.
Oh, that was nice.
All right, so top holiday destinations and favorite place you've been to. All right, Mr. Dano, you're the wisest of us all.
Like a seasoned traveler?
I never know.
Well, two different types of probably environments that I think I found to be really, really enjoyable. One is I did live in Edmonton for 2 years. I went to school there. I did have the chance to actually during my university days to travel up through the Rocky Mountains, both in the United States and in Canada, and the Sierra Nevada is also in the States. So I like that mountain type of environment where you get a nice mountain chalet and you climb to the top and you're in the woods and the forest, and the alpine area. That to me, just clean air, just out in the open, away from everybody. And when you camp in that type of environment, like we camped one time in the Yellowstone National Park, and clear night, totally clear night, and you know what? You see so many stars, and you actually get to see the Milky Way because it is just a bright band of that white star, white stars in there. It's so thick. So to me, being out in the West, in the mountainous region, was a really, really enjoyable experience for me. The other one, too, is it's got to be something like, the tropics. I like the tropics as well. I mean, it's something like you go down to Jamaica. What a wonderful, wonderful environment. I mean, you're sitting there and it's And we're going to get to something that's really, really cool later on when you talk about the Super Bowl. But, you know, how to say tingly and tantalized in the cool blue waters of Jamaica, man. It's just, it's such a laid-back environment. I mean, you just got to love it. So those are my two. So thanks, guys, for sending in that question. Those are my answers. How about you, Mike?
Well, I haven't really been around very much. My favorite place I've been would be Banff in Alberta. Just the lakes and everything around there, and the mountains are really nice. It's nice to go hiking around in the hills and stuff. I'd like to travel outside the country, because right now I haven't even been out of Canada. But I haven't had the time yet. I've been in school, so, yeah.
For me, I would, let's see, I like going to Vegas every once in a while, but usually I end up losing more money than I came in with.
I've been there.
Yeah, so it's a nice place to have some little fun, but that's pretty much it. Don't spend too much. Let's see, my favorite place? I don't really have a favorite place. I've been to many places. I guess Tallahassee, Florida, because when I was little, I went to Disney World. It was a nice fun place to just go around here and be able to just lay on the beach. That was pretty much it. Yes. That's pretty much it for me, unless you guys want to add anything else. I'm sure they're having fun being all warm and toasty down under.
Yeah, it's nice to get a question from them.
Yeah. Halfway they're around the world.
And they're at a cafe. I wonder what Shane's going to be drinking.
Shane just misses being on the show, so he just had to send in a question.
He must be having fun. I haven't heard much from him at all.
So it was really good to hear from both Brad and Shane, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the next question we're going to be taking is a text question from Duke Juker. It says, "Dear hosts, did you watch the Super Bowl? Were you pleased with who won? Did you enjoy the commercials this year? And any favorites?" Duke Juker. Well, I know we watched the Super Bowl, Trekkie, because we watched it while we were playing RuneScape at the same time, and there were a couple of other people in the friends chat as we were watching the game and playing RuneScape at the same time. To me, boy, that it did turn out to be an exciting game in the end, but you know what? The first half, I tell you, I was rooting for the 49ers, just I knew because you were in San Francisco and I wasn't following the football all the way along, but I wanted to root for San Francisco. They got owned in the first half. Come on. You could tell when they were making those plays, they weren't. Didn't even look like they were trying. It was pathetic.
It was over. The game was over when they went through and led a 109-yard touchdown. It was over.
That was right after the halftime. And it's like, okay, well, they're down a huge amount in the game. And then all of a sudden, it goes to halftime, and I'm going, okay, well, what's going to happen? You know what? That coach is going to pump them up, okay? And you can just see them coming back into the game. As soon as they come back in the game in the second half, all of a sudden, boom, 100-yard touchdown for the other team. And they're, oh, my gosh. And it's like, boy, that take a win out of your sails, wouldn't it? I mean, yeah. You're coming back all pumped up, trying to get back in the game, and all of a sudden, another one like that. Oh, and then, shortly thereafter, the power goes out
and
in the stadium.
And as you put in, Mr. Dano, you said, God bless the 49er fan who gave up his life.
Yeah, and threw himself on the electrical box in the stadium. That was so funny to Pernasius. He was sitting there. He says, he's typing in the chat, oh, that was so funny. I was rolling on the floor laughing so hard. I spit water all over my computer. Now I got to clean it all up. Oh, can you just imagine? Because I felt for the San Francisco fans. That was just so bad. But they did get back into the game. And, you know, right near the end, that last drive by San Francisco, I was really hoping that they could really get that touchdown. They were so close.
I knew they wouldn't.
So close. Oh, and they blew it. They could have won. There was only a 3-point spread, right, in the final score?
Mm-hmm. It was over. I was like, my friend's like, they have a chance. Nope. Yep. Told you. So, yes, Duke, I do owe you a $50K, but you find me.
But yeah, that was a good game overall. It was very interesting, let's just say.
Could have been better. But, you know, it was overall, I guess it was a decent game, but then it was like, the 109-yard touchdown is what I was like, all right, there's just really no point in watching.
Yep.
It was done. And your God did not answer my prayers there, Mr. Dana.
Well, sorry. I tried to Tebow it for you, but just didn't work out. It wasn't meant to be. And the second part of the question, did you enjoy any commercials?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we both loved the Volkswagen commercial with the crazy Jamaican.
Yeah, wicked coffee, Mr. Jim. Oh, that was the
part. Oh, and if you
look on the YouTube, you look on the
he's
YouTube.
He's been practicing.
Oh yeah, in my car all week long. You look on the YouTube site and you look up all of these commercials, and you look up some of the other sites that you type in top commercials of the 2013 Super Bowl, and they'll have them all listed, the top 10, the top 5, the worst 5. You know what? One site listed that one as the worst 5 because they thought it was racist, because a white guy was making a Jamaican accent. And you know what? Volkswagen went through a whole bunch of research with even a Jamaican focus group, and they loved it. They didn't have any problem with it. You go on the YouTube site and watch that video, everybody is just screaming, that's the best commercial I have ever seen. It was just so, so funny. So we got to put the link to that one in particular just so people can
Do you remember it is on the forum. I posted a little a thread to show some of the Super Bowl commercials that we liked. That was definitely on the list. You know? Yeah. Respect Buzzman.
You guys are 3 minutes late.
Don't be no cloud on a sunny day.
Yeah, chill, Winston.
Sir?
Respect Buzzman.
That's the power of German engineering.
Respect Buzzman. I just love it.
Okay. So thanks, Duke. Let's move on to the next one. This question is from Scream Truth. Hello, my question is, what are two skills you'd like to see introduced into the game? How would they work, and what impact would they have on the skills on the RS economy? From Screen Truth. Okay. Dana, why don't you go first, since you already have this all planned out in your head?
Well, I tried to think of something, and it wasn't necessarily two new skills that I want to see introduced. It was more of something like working with your existing skills to do something better. As a matter of fact, when they first announced player-owned ports, and I had never even seen what they were talking about, the first thing that came to my mind was you're building a shipping port, and you're able to perhaps make additional ports throughout Gelinor in which you can then create a new transportation network for yourself that's personalized. I thought that that's what it was going to be. I was totally wrong, obviously. But then I was thinking of this question. I'm saying, well, I really want to try and see that type of custom teleport or portal type of thing. So maybe a new skill would be a transportation skill, where you start mastering how to get around in Gelinor, not by the traditional means of spelling, you know, spell teleports or the other ones that are existing in the game, but you're creating ones specifically for yourself that are custom. And so I think you would probably have to have something like 99 magic, 99 construction, and maybe 99 agility. Once you have those, it would be really nice if you can combine those together so you can make custom portals in your house, perhaps, that would go to a particular gatestone portal that you put in Gelinor, and it would stay for a certain period of time and then disappear. You'd have to rebuild it. It would have to have some limitations on it so it doesn't really nerf the entire teletab market and everything else. I think that if you work on maybe a transportation skill where you can do custom teleports or custom ways of getting from one point to another, you need a really high skill to do it. It's only temporary. I don't think that would really affect the economy or the game too much, but it would be something really worth working towards. So that's what I came up with as far as an answer to that one.
Hmm. Okay. Mike, you have anything?
Let's see. RuneScape accounting.
RuneScape accounting.
Accounting.
you pay taxes and introduces people to... math
money management.
Money management, and I don't know. I haven't really thought about that much, but it'd be kind of interesting to have, if your house in a certain area, you have to pay taxes. And when I say interesting, I mean not that interesting, but it'd be useful for people to know. I mean, it's hard to think of a skill that already can't, all the skills can already cover everything, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
You could have maybe manufacturing, bring RuneScape into the, the new era.
Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
Let's see. Skill what I want? I want swimming. I want a swimming skill. I think it would be nice to be able to have a swimming skill so I can actually swim underwater a little bit more. Because so far they've introduced underwater class, but you aren't able to do as much in there. I think swimming might be interesting and it'd be kind of like agility and maybe not as chitty as with all the clicking. But whole idea is it helps you, travel farther underwater to catch and maybe enter new fishing spots because you can swim for 2 hours into this cave and you can get some more new fish or something like that. Unlock new areas. And maybe you can, or do what everyone else have been saying is introduce a sailing skill.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
Take me back to port.
I told you were going to sing on the show. There you go.
I didn't sing.
It was half singing.
Yes. Okay. So, thank you, Scream Truth. Who wants to see the next one?
Okay, I'll read it. This question's from 99 Aegis. Share your dreams. What are some crazy, funny, or RuneScape-related dreams you have had? I'm considering using Freudian dream analysis on you, so try to avoid dreams about snakes and guns. Turkey, you want to go first?
Let me see. Freudian dreams. Basically, everything's going to revolve around one thing anyway. All right, let's see now. I once had a dream when I was in school, in high school, and I was heading toward the parking lot, and I slipped. Next thing I know, I see an army of fire giants standing next to me, and I was scared. Then what happened, I remember sneaking up to one of them and started killing it. I can't remember what I was killing it with. But I remember seeing the people in full rune and all that killing them. So if you want to use Freudian dream analysis on me, I had a burning passion that's during high school, but I wasn't able to fully attack it because I wasn't fully aware of the firing passion burning inside me.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Freudian is all about one thing. Don't you remember Mr. Dano?
Yeah, he was a little messed up, I think.
A little? You sure about a little?
Yeah.
Mm.
How about you, Mike?
You know what? I don't really have dreams. I never remember mine. I think I get so little sleep that I just go straight into deep sleep and never remember my dreams. Although I did have one a long time ago that I remember. I dreamt I had the only black party hat in the game, and everyone was chasing after me. I was in the wild, and this was in RuneScape Classic, so every time someone started fighting me, I had to hit them 3 times and then start running away. I don't know, it's pretty funny.
Well, I think that if you're talking about dreams too, they don't actually have to be perhaps dreams while you're sleeping. You could have daydreams and things like that as you're falling asleep and thinking about the game, you know?
Yeah, best thing. You need REM sleep, dude.
Yeah, I know.
What about you, Mr. Dano?
Well, for me, it was probably... The thing I remember most is, working on those 12 skilling 99s and trying to get to the end. And, you'd imagine how you would work them together. So you're trying to fall asleep and you've been maybe grinding a little bit. So you're trying to say, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to work on this strategy. This one's going to feed this one. I'm going to do this some more. And it's, something that you think about if you play the game for long enough, you're thinking about it and thinking about it and you're strategizing in the game. at the same time, I'm thinking about what happens when I get to the end and I get all of these 12 in a row. And I'm going to do it all at once. That's going to be a huge goal for me, right? During that year, earlier in the year, they were talking about, you know, perhaps having a RuneFest in North America. And so then I started dreaming about, okay, I think I want to get those 12. If RuneFest comes to North America, especially if it comes to Chicago, which is kind of near me, it's only about 6 hours away, I'd like to get those 12 at RuneFest with all the player mods and the J mods all there and the whole crowd watching me do it one after the other. So, you're more like a fantasy kind of thing, right? And I remember this one part, too, that, Shane was saying, when that poll came out and where it was going to be New York or I think it was San Francisco, was it, or L.A., and then Chicago, and there was a poll. And he messaged me, and we were talking one time, I think, on Skype after a show, and he said, you know what? He says, if RuneFest ever came to North America and it was in Chicago and you were to go, would you host be kind of a reporter in the field for RSBNB for that coverage of that? And I said, wow, that would be really cool. I'm there getting my $12.99s plus. You know, we could be there and do an opening for the show and I'd be interviewing J-Mods and all that kind of stuff. And I thought that was really, so that in my mind really hung on as kind of a recurring kind of dream. And you know, you have to imagine this, you got to get this in your mind, some real, real, you know, deep imagery of us sitting there in this huge convention area. And perhaps we've gotten some permission from Jagex to get some audience participation, and we're opening up the show and we're on stage and we're opening up, and doing the show in October of last year, something like, this is RSBNB Update, episode number 381, recorded Friday, October 6th, 2012. I am Uncle Dano, your on-site reporter here live in the heartland of the USA, Chicago, Illinois, RuneFest 2012.
So,
that's kind of like how my dream went.
Just wow.
Idea.
I would like to see him try to use a Freudian to analyze that one.
I thought about the answer to that question, and I came up with that. I hope that's satisfactory.
That was great.
You had to add in your own sound effects, didn't you?
Well, that's kind of how I'm always been known, right?
Oops, sorry. All right. Thank you, 99. Mike, why don't you take the last one?
All right. Comes from Maroska. Will we have another Chinese greetings to the show, Trekkie? Not question. Hi, hosts of RSBNB. Oh, is that from you, Trekkie?
No, that was from him.
That's from him? Okay. Hi, hosts of RSBNB Update. Maroska here. A few questions this week. First, with the price of Torstal Herb dropping, should I invest in some for future overloads? Or should I wait till it goes down more? Also, I was thinking today how crappy my life was and wondered what if you have the power to high alk things in real life and the coin pieces would be pure gold. How would you go about having this ability?
I would change everyone I hate into gold, make them happy.
Change people into gold?
Yep, I'll become Midas.
And that will make them happy.
No, it'll make me happy.
It'll make you happy.
Yes. It's like, I hated you in life, but I love you as gold. Yes. I can name a few.
I don't think that's how bothering. The story normally works.
But there's one very important thing about Maramska's question that's kind of bothering me.
Yeah.
Counterfeit.
No.
Maramska, you don't have a crappy life. Everybody's got a great life. If you're playing RuneScape with the RSBNB community, you couldn't be hanging around a better group of people. So your outlook needs to change just a little bit. And it's not a criticism. It's more of an encouragement. Things are probably a lot better than you actually see them. maybe it's your youthfulness, and maybe I'm just older and wiser and just don't.
Yes, as someone else
give a darn anymore.
As someone else would have put it, Lorumska, turn that frown All the way around. I can't do it. I can do Indian. I can't do Jamaican right now with a stupid cold.
You need to turn the frown upside down.
And answering your first part, no, I cannot do a Chinese greeting. I'm still trying to get over the stupid cold, which is why I can't do a Jamaican very well.
Ugh. But the thing about, if you had the power to high alp things in real life and the coin pieces would be pure gold, how would you go about having this ability? Like, how would you build something like that? I just, like, you'd have to have a machine that you would insert something and say, okay, I'm going to get rid of my stapler. So you stick the stapler in the machine. Okay, the machine analyzes what it is. It says, oh, that's a stapler. Okay, looks up its value somewhere through a computer and says, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to incinerate this stapler, perhaps, and the amount of energy that it produces by incinerating it, because everything is made of something that is, you know, combustible and turned into energy, that has a value. And you feed that perhaps maybe into the electric grid and you get paid for the amount of energy you get by taking this thing out of the world. I mean, that's the only thing I could ever come up with that might, you could stick anything in there and its value when burnt produces energy and you get paid in cash or gold for the energy you produce. Does that make sense?
That's some. That's an interesting theory for how high alking works. That everything has some energy to it, and that you're just getting the energy in a different form.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
what would you high alk in real life?
People I hate.
Junk. All the clutter around the house you want to get rid of, and you just don't want to throw it out because you don't want to put it in the landfill. You need to put it into something, and if it goes into producing more energy for the electric grid so your power bills go down, hey, I'd do that.
And what would you have to spend to high alk in real life?
Spend yeah, to I don't know. In real life. You start a bonfire and you throw in some trees. You know, special mahogany oak blend.
With a little bit of magic thrown in?
No, and a little touch of love. yeah.
What about the part of the question about the grimy torstal? Or the torstal, anyways?
I think that's too hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you go to the RuneScape Bits and Bytes site and you go in the Grand Exchange portfolio and you look at the price history for the longest period of time. You look at Torstal as far back in history as we have the data for. Currently, like, Torstal's at 16.4K. And the last time it was at around that value was way back in early 2010.
Just after Overlords were released.
Yes. And so they are continuing to go down in the graph. Now, if they don't bring back more effectiveness for potions, nobody is going to want to actually make overloads or any other potion for that matter. They have to bring the value of potions back up if the price is going to go up. So I think it's going to continue to drop until that change is made and potions are more valuable in the game, period. The other thing, too, is that a lot of these herb prices are also due to bots, just the same thing with dragon bones. There's no way that all these real players are collecting all of the millions of dragon bones that are sold on the Grand Exchange for people to train prayer. It's all done by bots. As soon as they get rid of those bots collecting those things or collecting their herbs or whatever, prices will skyrocket because the supply of those things is going to go down. The demand is still going to be the same or go up after that. So they have to get rid of bots.
Sorry. I think Torstal is one of the few herbs that actually isn't affected by bots. Like, is there any way for bots to collect Torstal besides killing stuff?
Just killing stuff, I think, yes.
There is the whole key thing. I can't remember what the key is called in Yano. Down below in that other area. From
that
the chest.
Mine guy,
from the chest.
But you get one, and it takes a long time to get it.
Well, if you have bots down there in Chaos Druid, and you're getting for the keys, you have plenty of time. But, yeah.
Anyways, the thing with stuff like that, where you, if you're thinking about investing in something long term, it's usually a bad idea in RuneScape. You're usually going to lose.
Because you don't know what it's going to do.
Just from my experience, anyways. You're far better off to continuously invest in something and then resell it right away. Just flipping it fast, and you'll make money every day doing that. If you want to do that, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But Torstal is at a good price, currently. It's not that bad at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so thank you, Mormumska. Now we move on to our Shane's favorite thing to do during the podcast. We have tech news. So, Mr. Dane, I believe you have the first one.
Under tech news, yeah, Yahoo's new telephone voice... telephone system, okay. If anybody remembers a rapper named Snow back, I would say, I'm going to age myself to it, about the mid-90s or so. He's from Toronto, white guy who raps like a Jamaican. He's now been hired by Yahoo to liven up their telephone lines so that when you're put on hold, you're going to hear him singing this nice little ditty. I actually was really into Snow at the time, really liked it, his type of music. And this is really, I love this stuff. Here's a sample of it.
Like the whole music, so that is how I wrote this jam for you. You're on hold, hold on a Yahoo. So give him a second while I patch you through. The CEO didn't like the whole music, so I wrote this jam for you. Hello, operator.
I thought that was the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. This is 19 years. It says 19 years on from Informer. North York-born rapper Snow has another brewing hit on his hands, albeit it's time it's more of the viral variety. So I think everyone's watching this and laughing just as hard as I am. So he's recorded this thing for Yahoo. He's on the hold music for it. And I thought it was just so... You know what? This is going to give Yahoo a lot of advertising. Just because of this, they're going to want to just call to listen to it. If they don't just want to listen to the video here. So they've got a little bit of exposure on this. This thing went viral. I thought it was really, really interesting, and I encourage people just to go and click on the link in the show notes after the show's posted and have a listen to this one.
Very funny.
And so, Mr. Dana, when you were younger, did you listen to Biggie Smalls too?
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Mostly into the classics, the older stuff, the original stuff. Not so much into the new stuff, but, you know, I have to confess that I was, DJing for a while, and some of this newer stuff was really good, so really got into it. I actually did a lip sync to Snow on stage in front of this dance group, in this dance club with my fellow DJ partner one night. And we did Informer, the two guys from the music video. I was Snow, and he was the other guy in the video, lip syncing to it. It actually went off really, really well. But that was a past life. I'm on to a new season.
So, from a scale from 1 to 10, how drunk were you that night?
Five. Just to get up the courage, I think. Oh, the crazy younger years. You'll look back on them fondly, too, when you get to be my age.
All right, so how old are you now?
I will never tell. I think you said it once. I think you alluded to it, and I think I agreed to it. Do you remember what you said?
He's basically twice our age.
Yeah. Generally, on average, I would say so.
You're basically old enough to be my daddy.
Yeah, I'd say that, yeah. But, you know, I don't have any gray hair. No gray hair yet. So I've got the youthful looks, let's just say. And the attitude, of course.
Right. I'm pretty sure you probably touch it up, don't you?
No. Mm-hmm. It's natural. It is. It is. Honest. Honest, honest to God.
I believe you.
Okay. Okay, so let's move on to the next little thing. It seems Adobe has issued an emergency update for Flash. So, two previous unknown security holes prompted the company to issue an emergency update across all platforms. Emergency update is for Flash players to fix two zero-day threats. Company, this just announced yesterday, does it for Windows, Mac, Linux, and Android. The vulnerability is coming from the exploit, quote-unquote, in the wild. And according to Kaspersky, one attack targeted aerospace and other manufacturing companies by tricking people into opening a Microsoft Word document with malicious Flash content embedded in it. So if you're using Flash, it's a good idea to re-update. You may never know what could be inside. So, Mike, you want to add anything to this since you're the residential expert?
Honestly, it's not that surprising given how many of these there's been in the past with Flash. I think it happens so often that people are like desensitized to it. They don't really care anymore. But it's a serious thing, and you need to continuously update.
Hmm. Yeah, so, update your Flash.
Have you guys found that Flash is really slow and choppy recently? Yes. Within the last 6 months?
Yeah, it just seems to be getting worse.
Yes.
Like YouTube videos, they'll lag for a second sometimes, and then it's fine. I don't get it.
I find that they go out of sync as well. The audio and the video go out of sync. Oh, yeah.
I've not had that happen.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. Yeah, more sites need to update to HTML5. Get rid of Flash.
Yes.
Alrighty. So anyway, again to update, and with the last but not least, we are having Linux smartphones. So. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Smartphones running the open source Ubuntu operating system will be available to customers beginning in October of 2013. According to the CEO of Canon. Mike, help me out.
Canonical? I don't know.
Okay, Canonical Horizon for corporate customers using Ubuntu open source software. So they're going to start releasing a bunch of these in the fall. Maybe you can start having Android and having your iPhone onto this and jailbreak it, though it's supposed to be illegal in the U.S. now.
Probably not on iPhone. But Android phones.
Yeah, so have some fun with it when it comes out. And if you're one of those tinkerers, this should be fun for you.
Have you guys seen any videos of it?
Of this one? No.
No.
Mostly they're still under, designing and stuff.
Well, there is videos of it, actually. They've had a finished product, but, no tech sites have been able to test it. It's only been shown to them. But based on the videos, it looks pretty interesting. Basically, everything's done with gestures, so you can swipe from the left side and you see all of your programs running. You swipe from the top, and you can change settings. And, I don't know, swiping from the right is something else. But it basically changes how a lot of operating systems work. It's different from it. When it comes out, I'd like to try it. I own the Galaxy Nexus that they've been previewing it on.
Really? Cool.
But I don't know if it will be successful, because the major thing with new phone operating systems is you have to have the apps, and when it comes out, it's not going to have any apps, so how's it going to compete with Android and iOS and Windows Phone that have all these apps?
Same thing with Windows. Windows Phone, they're taking their sweet time getting up, but they're getting up. It takes some time, but I'm just a little worried that with all the smartphones, the app market may become so saturated with a whole bunch of you know, junkware that smartphones, this, they may not even want to deal with this one.
Yeah, there's no real reason for people to switch because they already have a platform, and, well, basically everyone seems to have smartphones now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It should be so interesting to see, though.
Well, as I said before, with the Windows, the point is not to try and draw new customers, because, like, new first-time smartphone users, what they really need to do is focus on what can we do differently to draw the customers from Apple and Android and Windows into ours. What can we do differently? What can we do better to make more people come toward us? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But then who's to say that Android won't implement everything that Ubuntu did?
Then there would be
no reason for anyone to switch.
All right, so that's basically it. So if you like Linux, it's coming out in the fall, and do remember to update your flash. And if you're really bored, go call Yahoo Hotline. All right, so that is it for tech news. So now we have the February skill of the month, which is strength. And so far, it's actually pretty close. Oh, God, I'm losing my voice. Mike, you take over.
Okay, so right now in first, we got Undoer with 2.8 million XP gained. In second, close behind, is Jamandi52 with 2.5 million. And trailing a bit behind that is Mina's 199.307 with 550k XP gained.
And we have Tim at zero.
That's Shane, not nice. Why?
That's for Shane. I'm sure Shane's going to get a laugh out of this later on, and if he ever listens to this stuff. Okay,
and,
so
and Trekkie was zero.
I'm not even on it, so I don't care.
Yeah, basically you got a race between Undoer and Jamandi.
Yes.
52, so, and then the rest of the pack is way behind.
It comes down to who has enough money for the double chaotic rapiers to repair? Yeah. So, last but not least, we have the achievements of the week. We only have one this week. We have Lowell Farm, who got 99 construction on February 5th, 2013. So, congratulations to you on getting that 99. I know that's one very expensive skill.
Yes, congratulations. That was one of my favorite skills, and actually I was in-game at the time that he got that, and I congratulated him in-game as well. I loved construction, just from the creative aspect. And I know it's a little bit expensive, but you can find ways to make it cheaper. But I really like that skill. That's my favorite.
Yes. Would you like to remodel my house?
Sure.
Sure. Cool. But you're paying for the construction.
I can do that.
Sweet. All right, and so we have the pick of the week. Mr. Dana, I believe you have the pick for us.
Yeah, this week's pick of the week is a freeware program, which is a graphics editor. Now, is it all another graphics editor? No, actually, this one is actually pretty good. If you cannot afford Photoshop, and you're as frustrated as I am in dealing with things like the GIMP, which is another open source freeware version, those Linux heads really don't know how to design a GUI for us older people who really want usability and really simple, intuitive stuff, and we don't need to configure the heck out of something in order to get something done. That's what the GIMP is all about. It has a lot of functionality and a lot of power, but it's really difficult to use. This one is one that was developed on the .NET framework, and it was originally created by this fellow named Rick Brewster as a Washington State University student project, and it basically evolved from a simple replacement for the Microsoft Paint program into a really, really powerful editor that has support for layers and blending and transparency and also additional plugins. And it's totally free, and it's freeware, very powerful, and it's got a really nice, easy-to-use GUI. So you can do a lot of stuff you can do in Photoshop, and it is free. So I would recommend people check out paint.net. That's the name of the program. The actual URL is getpaint.net, and we'll have that link in the show notes. Also, go to the Wikipedia and look up paint.net to review the history behind this, because it is currently being supported by Microsoft. And although it originated just as a student project, it is still being supported by people who have been working on the project all the way along. And they're continuing to work on it and build it and make it even better and keep it freeware. So this is a really, really good and probably one of the most highly downloaded freeware versions of a graphics program that anyone can get. So I would recommend that one to anybody.
Alrighty. So, it's been good for us poor college students who can't afford Adobe. Okay, so, what have we been up to, Mike? I know you've had a busy week.
Oh, I've been really busy with school. I haven't been doing anything but school, basically. So, not that much to talk about. Just really tired.
Yes, we can hear it in your voice. Let's see. So I did a bunch of sinkholes this week and did a lot of ports. That's basically the whole gist of it. I like the sinkholes, little quick dungeoneering experience. But for once, I actually did catch every single Jadinko in the herbivore habitat just to get the legs.
So, yay!
So since as Mike, you know that we're trying to do something special with that. With that soon.
I find that really annoying, because every time I've done that, I always get the top, and I have like five tops and one leg. I just want two of each.
Why two of each?
Yeah, for like two legs and two tops.
Uh-huh. Why do you need two?
So it stays in the bank.
Yeah, a bank holder.
Tee-hee. Okay.
Sorry to interrupt.
But I finally got that, so I am happy with that. So, because you and I both know we're doing something special with Herbal Habitat soon, and we'll have more information on that in a later date. And Dana, where'd you go?
I'm here. Oh, what have I been doing? Well, you know what? It's really a change in my game now that I don't have to grind away at all of the basic production and gathering skills anymore. It's nice having 99 in all of those, so I don't have to work at them. It's also, I miss it, believe it or not, because it's what I was used to for the last X number of years, right? Now I'm trying to explore other areas of the game that I've never, ever done before. So, like, I've done pest control that I've never even done. I've done quite a few Castle Wars games, and I've only tried it once before that time. And also doing a lot of the quests and doing some of the quest series. If you leave them for long enough, you get to do two or three quests in a row, one right after the other, that follow along in the storyline. So you can follow along through it and without huge periods of time in between. Right, Trekkie? Like the Elven series? that's really enjoyable to me. So now I'm getting back into questing, and I find that really interesting. So, and I really commend Jagex on some of the later quests, especially some of the voice acting and things like that, that makes them really enjoyable. Now, when I first started playing RuneScape, I didn't really get into questing. I found them really horrible. I found them very hard because I'd never done something like that before. Now that you get used to it, I try not to use a guide at all until I get really, really stuck and I don't know what in the heck to do, so I'll have to look up how to get past this one spot. But I try and work my way through it and experience it and sit back and enjoy it, not to do it as quickly as possible just to get the reward. So I'm finding some new fun in the game in things I've never done before or things I really wanted to do, never had time to do. So I'm really having a good time actually changing over and actually concentrating on combat a little bit more than I used to.
Yes, I am waiting for you to get 90 attack.
Yeah, I'm getting up there. I got 86 and everything so far. You know.
Oh, come on, hurry up. Grind, fool, grind.
Yeah, I want to get up there so I can get that Prometheum outfit for dungeoneering. So and the sword.
Yes, you need the sword first because I think that's more important. You use that way more than the armor. That's it, ain't it? We're done.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Last week was Super Bowl week, and you know what's coming up this week? Oh, this week is Valentine's Day, right? So Do you have any special plans for Valentine's Day, guys?
Well, it's Chinese New Year on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm just going over to my sister and check on my niece and play kick the baby.
What?
Kick the baby. Ready, girl? Kick the baby. Don't kick the baby. Kick the baby. I can't even do that anymore. God, I hate this stupid cold.
Okay. I don't know what's going on right now.
I don't either. He lost me.
My damn cold.
Hopefully you're not kicking babies.
Well, it's fun kicking babies. You get to see how far you can fly through the air. They're very aerodynamic.
Oh, goodness. Where is this going now? you got to get out of the house more often.
I think we should end now.
Yeah. So, Jackie, find yourself a date. So, you know, I don't know, Mike, if you have a date either, it's Valentine's Day coming up. You know, have some fun. Get away from the computer. Get some inspiration from RuneScape, maybe, to woo your date and flatter her or whatever.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, why not?
You should tell this.
Well, see, when I did one piercing note, and I hadn't done it when it first came out, I just did it a few weeks ago. There's a lot of romance in that one, so that's probably the most romantic quest, and it's got some good music and voice acting in it. I would say you could probably do something on a date with the music from One Piercing Note, don't you? sing the tune. You don't think so?
I don't know.
Yeah, why don't you try singing that? You should try singing that to your wife and see how that goes.
Like this?
I can see her dancing barefoot, there are flowers in her hair. I remember like I saw it yesterday. To the sound of flutes and drums, she took my hand and danced with me. We kept dancing once the music went away.
Okay, I think it's time to officially end the show now. So, goodbye everyone. Have a great weekend. And to all my fellow Asians, happy Chinese New Year. Dano, Mike.
And to my son, sorry, I know I embarrassed you. That's what I love doing. Godspeed, everyone. Have another fine day in the skate.
Bye, everyone.